the U.S. Capitol. There are violent confrontations going on. Members of Congress have been told to shelter in place.
Go, go! Go, go! To protect the Constitution of the United States against enemies foreign and domestic!
That was the sound of violence at the U.S. Capitol 1 year ago today. It's a day that still lives in infamy, even though polls suggest that voters view just how violent that day was from different perspectives based on their political party. Joining us now is Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, who was still in lockdown on the evening of January 6, 2021, when we reached him. The congressman joins us now. Congressman, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Good to talk to you.
I want to take you back to our conversation 1 year ago this evening to give our listeners a sense of what you were feeling and thinking in that hour. Let's listen.
I don't think that we've been in this place in the United States at least since pre-1865, the ending of the Civil War. I don't think we've been in this place before. That ought to cause almost any American to tremble tonight that we are in a place where, you know, the president will not condemn mob action.
You know, Congressman, you were angry, you were upset, lots of emotion coming through in that clip. Can you tell us a little more about what you were feeling that evening?
Well, I was feeling some fear at first because I had two staffers in the office with me. We were in lockdown. We were told not to stand in front of windows. We were told to turn off any and all noisy communication systems, and that the sergeant at arms would be in contact with us. That lasted for about 5 hours before we heard anything on the outside, and we were able to get information via television and radio. Now, I was fearful at first, and then the fear turned to anger when my daughter called me, and I heard her voice, almost her crying voice, and then that just sent all kinds of anger to the center of my somebodyness. I think at that moment, I probably could have been irrational if something had happened where I was involved. And it was not one of the highlights of my life, although I will never, ever, ever, as long as I maintain my mental dexterity, forget what happened on January 6, 2021.
I bet it was a moment that you never thought you'd be in, a situation you never thought you'd have to face.
I mean, I'm a representative of the United States Congress, and in the United States of America, that's what happens in South American banana republic, as we have at times called them. That's what happens in Eastern Europe. That's what happens in Africa. It's not something that one would even remotely expect in the United States of America. And the worst part about that statement I just made is that I am absolutely convinced that the construction of the highway to tyranny began last January 6th. And unless the United States, meaning the public, decides that that highway construction must end and that any concrete pavement remaining should be scraped off the roadway. We are in a terrible, terrible situation for the future.
Congressman, you're talking about President Trump's speech there just outside the Capitol.
Yes. The president was at the Ellipse, and he made a speech walking distance to the Capitol, which is why the mob was able to walk to the Capitol, because it's walking distance. The president did say to them, because we could see it on television, that he would be with them. We know that he was not with them, that he went in the house, in the White House, and watched what was taking place at the Capitol in a TV room right outside of the Oval. And we also know now that he had no inclination, based on all the information we've received, to do anything to halt it after he said to them that he wanted them to go down to the Capitol. And they obeyed him. And we know now that family members and other White House staff members were asking him to please go on national TV and call the mob off.
You felt that evening, Congressman, you told me that this at the time, that this was nothing less than a coup attempt. Do you still feel that way today?
Well, I don't think, look, if the average American saw that on the evening news or heard on KCUR that a mob had just attacked the Capitol in Nairobi, Kenya, we would come to the conclusion very quickly that there was a coup attempt, and that the government of Kenya was vulnerable to collapse. And this was an attempted coup. And Steve, I have to also tell you that that when you look at the poll numbers of people who would argue against what I just said, is chilling. That people, have made a decision not based on evidence, but just made a decision based on their political affiliation that this was not a coup attempt. That in the minds of some, it was, a tour of the Capitol, a peaceful demonstration. It was not. That was an attempt to overthrow the government of the United States, because at the same time, our contemporary documents show that there were those who had offered up in writing the plan for the president to recapture control of the United States government. That's not me talking. That's not the Democratic National Committee. That's not the Las Vegas Raiders. We have that coming from the minds and mouths of people who were there, people who have seen the documents.
Congressman, you mentioned polls. There's a new poll out just a day or two ago from the Associated Press. The poll found that a year after the deadly January 6th riots at the Capitol, only about 4 in 10 Republicans recall the attacks by supporters of President Trump as very violent or extremely violent. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, it ought to give every thoughtful, thinking American a headache. But look, the mind will never accept, what the eyes and ears will never encounter. And by that, I mean, we know what happened, but there's so much alternative information that the American public is consuming, and they will only consume the things that will ratify what they already believe, and so that their eyes and ears will never ever encounter, reading some of the newspapers, most of the newspapers around the country. They will never hear comments on national public radio. They will never watch ABC, CBS, NBC. I mean, they'll never do that. And so what they're being told, and they are consuming it out of, I think, self-defense, that nothing happened. And if something happened, the Democrats orchestrated it. I need to tell you about one incident with me. I was at an event. I won't name it because I don't want to embarrass the good people who operate this venue. But I was at an event where I spoke. I had two security guards, two members of the off-duty Kansas City police officers, and one staffer who runs our independence office. And I had made a speech. During the speech, I thought it was not even worth even remembering. That's what I was about to ask. But I said to the crowd, I said, we ought to issue a prayer for the men and women of the Capitol Hill police,
right,
who fought off the insurrectionists. When it was over, a woman walks up to me and she says, how dare you? And I said, I beg your pardon? And she said, you made my husband cry. And I have witnesses for this. You made my husband cry because you know that there was nothing going on at the Capitol that would require police to intervene. And you know, one of the police officers just gently grabbed me by the arm and moved me away. This is here in Kansas City. And so, you know, when with that kind of information out there that this woman has, it means that she has designed her information or the system of providing her information in a manner that was already in harmony with what she believed or what she would like to believe.
I'm visiting with Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver about the January 6 attacks. You know, the same poll that I just referenced from the Associated Press found that the percentage of Americans who blame President Trump for the January 6 riot has grown slightly over the past year, with 57% saying he bears significant responsibility for what took place. That's up 7% from the days following the attack. Again, how much responsibility do you think the president bears for what happened that day? You're saying to me he was at the heart of this thing. Do I understand that right?
Yeah, I don't think he deserves 100%. I think probably 98%. Because, you know, there were some people on the fringes who were encouraging him to do this. But make no mistake, everything we have learned since January 6th, convinces me and I think convinces most people who are willing to be thoughtful that the president of the United States was trying to stay in power. And but for him telling his supporters to go down to the Capitol, that would not have happened. Now that we know that there was an effort on the inside to get Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, to do something that didn't even make sense. Certainly wasn't a part of the constitutional exchange of power. That the president had in multiple ways in which he was trying to remain in power, and having Mike Pence simply declare that the electoral votes were warped or fraudulent, and then declaring President Trump the winner. That was just one of them. There were a number of other ways in which he did it. I wanted to say this. Bill Barr ran from the White House. I think once he saw what was going on.
The Attorney General, yeah.
Yes, the Attorney General just ran. He before he left, he said there was no fraud in the election that would matter. And he said, I've rendered my resignation and I'm leaving. And he just dropped off of the planet. I think, you know, he did not want to be in any way connected to what happened on January 6th. He did not want his children, his grandchildren and their children to believe that he was a part of the coup attempt.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying earlier to your question. It was a coup attempt. And it's not just seen as a coup attempt by Democrats, but by Republicans as well.
I was going to ask you, what do your Republican colleagues on the Hill say to you about what happened that day? Is there any doubt in their minds that what took place was, at a minimum, a violent act?
I think probably most of them believe that it was a violent act instigated by President Donald Trump. I have no reservation about saying that. And I think if you get massive polygraph tests, I would prove to be correct. However, and I would tell you and your listeners, if they question what I just said, all they have to do is think about the next day after the January 6th insurrection, that the leaders of the Republican Party, including the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, came to the floor and denounced what the president had done. They subsequently realized that the base of the party was not going to accept that. And so little by little, they began to back away from their declarations about Trump. Lindsey Graham, for example, said he and the president had a good run, but the president was wrong here, and he had to call him out. And 10 days later, he was saying the president was the best thing since popsicle. And I think they became afraid of the base, which never moved. And that's chilling in and of itself, because it means that there are some people who, by their acts and by what they have been saying, their words, are not practitioners any longer of American democracy.
Again, my guest is Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. How safe do you feel in the Capitol today, Congressman?
Well, because we don't allow any outsiders coming in, I feel relatively safe. I don't know if the public realizes that since January 6th, tourists are not allowed to enter into the Capitol or the office buildings. Only staff and members of Congress are walking around. And for the most part, most of us feel safe. I feel safe. But I have to also say that there are some members of Congress who are walking around armed. And because they are armed, those of us who are unarmed and don't want to be armed are always concerned that if they have a bad moment, that we could become a victims of the violence perpetrated by our colleagues. We now cannot go into the chamber of the Capitol without first going through a metal detector. Now I've been all over the world. I've been in the Knesset. I've been in the Parliament in England just 6 or 7 weeks ago, and nobody goes through a metal detector. Not even in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, which is supposed to be the capital, but where you go through a metal detector. I mean, it's I've been to the Palestinian headquarters.
Right.
In the West Bank, the same thing. But we can't, in the United States, the citadel of democracy, members of Congress must go through a metal detector to go into to vote.
You know, the January 6th Commission is continuing its work, Congressman. What's been the most surprising revelation that's come out of its work so far, in your view?
Well, I know all the members of the committee, and I know them to be good and decent people. And so I take seriously what they say. When I heard that the committee had firsthand evidence that members of the president's family, as well as members of the White House staff, went in to ask him to stop. That's information that I've gotten only in the last few days.
Right.
But, that shocked me. I had no idea that the daughter of the president, for example, went in twice and asked the president to call the people off. You have kids too. My daughter came in and said something to me. It would have jerked me a little, and I would have probably started trying to do different ways of thinking. But there was nothing going on in the Capitol that seemed to have bothered the president. In fact, we know from Kevin McCarthy's own words that the president told him he didn't seem to be as concerned about what was going on in terms of the election as the rioters, as the insurrectionists. And they had somewhat of a shouting conversation over telephone, as Mr. McCarthy was in hiding, and along with others, many others, including the Vice President of the United States. This was a horrible day for the United States of America. And it's continuing, as the New York Times suggests, that we are having a January 6th every day. And because here I am, I believe that the best way to eradicate the Leviathan lie, as I call it, is by educating the American public. And when they know better, they will do better. Mm-hmm. And right now, they don't know better.
You know, a couple of final points here. The interim report from the January 6th Commission is expected sometime this summer. What recommendations do you expect will be in that report?
Well, they will very likely try to get us to vote to change some things to create some more guardrails that we didn't believe we needed. For example, the time between the election and the inauguration has to be something that does not give a person with totalitarian inclinations the time nor the staff and power to do.
So those we've never thought about it's too that. Many. It's too much time. You're suggesting at least that might be one change. Yeah.
Yes. From the first Tuesday in November all the way to the middle of January, mm-hmm. and for all of history that hasn't mattered. But all of a sudden it does matter. And I think the committee is going to try to figure out something that we absolutely must do to preserve democracy, because that was the most dangerous period of time, I think, in the history of the United States, that period that we had in on January 6th, January 6th all the way to Inauguration Day, which was, January the 15th or something like that.
20th, what else do you expect in that report in terms of recommendations?
Well, I think there's going to be something done, if it's possible to legislate it, to deal with the Justice Department and what the Justice Department can do or must be ready to do, or the FBI, and that is the National Guard. We know, because I was in my office waiting on a word coming up that would come across on the annunciator that I had in my office to say that the National Guard has arrived. I never heard it. As of today, I still haven't heard it. We were all in our offices hoping to hear that those words, the National Guard has arrived. And so we still don't know, Steve, whether the National Guard was actually called out by the president yet. I think there are members on the committee who have found out. We don't know if it was the Vice President Pence that did it. We don't know whether somebody in the Army Chief did it. We have no idea. Hopefully we'll find out, but I think that's going to give the committee some instructions on what to present to the Congress as a way of avoiding this in the future.
A final point, a new NPR poll out just a few days ago finds that 64% of Americans now believe that U.S. democracy is in crisis and at risk of failing. Do you agree with that?
I do. And all you have to do is come on the Hill. Unfortunately, you couldn't move around too much there. Well, I guess you could as a journalist. But it's not a situation where you feel good about democracy when almost every single member of one party voted essentially to halt our democracy, because they voted not to accept the Electoral College votes. In other words, they voted not to ratify what the Electoral College was prepared to present through the Vice President. And so that means a big chunk of Americans no longer will accept democracy if a democracy means that they won't get the person they voted for to become president.
That's Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. Congressman, appreciate your time. Thanks for sharing your views today. Much appreciated.